Examples of muksa, practical examples. This is going to be fun. Okay, practical examples of laws of muksa. Let's start with household items. Okay, I'll go through every single one. Let's see if you can guess. You can guess what the halacha is for each one. Okay, a rug. Okay, you come and you have like in front of your house. You come into the house, you have a mat, a rug.
Welcome mat.
Is that muksa? You want to move it. You want to move. You want to pick it up with your hands. What?
Sometimes they put a key.
Oh, very good, very good. There's the key. Is a welcome mat muksa? Absolutely not. Why should it be muksa? Man, you always have to ask halacha. I like the approach. I favor the approach. It's mutter until you know otherwise. Don't ask, don't tell. Until someone says, what are you doing? Oh, I didn't know. Sorry, I didn't know. Innocent until proven guilty. Why should a carpet mat be muksa? It's not attached to the ground. It's not mochubu l'karka. It's movable. It's a utensil. It's used to clean your feet. The house should not get dirty. So indeed, it's mutter. There's nothing to talk about. A carpet mat is mutter. Okay, next question. A door. A door becomes detached before Shabbos. After Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. It becomes detached from the, and it's just standing against the wall. Okay, unhinged. You have a door in your house, anywhere, it's detached, it comes off the hinges, and it's lying against the wall, and now it's Shabbos, you want to set up your dining room table, you have guests, it's not nice, I don't want it to stand there, I want to pick up the door and take it into another room. Is the door muksa? If the door was attached to the hinges, I would be allowed to swing it back and forth the whole day, that's normal. So now that it becomes detached, the muksa, the answer is yes. It's a very severe form of muksa for one very simple reason, because it was attached to a lekarka. It was once upon a time mechubar lekarka. That's the rule. If it was once mechubar lekarka and now has been detached, so it's considered, it's not functional. This is not the way it's used. This is not its purpose. It's meant to be attached. This that it's detached is such a significant change of what its usage is. It's considered to be a kli. It's considered muksa machmas gufay. You're not allowed to touch it. Not allowed to move it. Not even litzarech gufay or litzarech mekayma. Even before Shabbos.
You can designate it.
But if you did, let's say you did not designate it, I want to now use this door as a bed. It seems like at a table. I have crates. I take the door. We're going to make it into a table. I first came up with this idea on Shabbos. I did not have this. If you had this idea before Shabbos and you designate, then it's permitted. But before Shabbos, you did not have this idea. Or the door became detached on Shabbos itself. I want to now use it as a table. Let's say gufa. Or I'm embarrassed that the door should be here in the living room. I want to move it out, move it away because I want it. I need this place. You're not allowed to move something that was attached to the earth before, that's meant to be attached to the earth, that is now currently detached. That's called muksa machmas gufay. Next halacha. Let's say you have a break front, or you have some type of a chest, some type of movable cabinet, and the door is detached. So is this door called muksa? So the answer is not. Even if the door is not muksa at all, being that this door, so you have a door, and the door was originally part attached to your to a break front or to something which is movable, and now it's detached. Either detached before Shabbos or on Shabbos, it's not muksa at all. It's not muksa at all. Even if this door, believe it or not, even if this door has no function, even if the door is movable, either on Shabbos, it is not muksa. Provided the utensil, now here's the only condition, is that the utensil from where, or the chest from where the door came from, is still functional. In other words, let's say I have a little bookcase. It's not today, you know, I once had someone install a bookcase, and they assembled it, and then the guy started drilling it into the wall. So I said, no, don't do that. Don't drill into the wall, because I don't know if I really even going to keep. Who knows? I might move. I might put the room in another bookcase. Don't. He says, no. That's our policy. If you do not let me drill the bookcase into the wall, then I'm taking it apart. I'm taking it out, and We'll have to.
The danger,
exactly. Exactly. There's a liability. This is like a Hamish guy. This is like, hey, one of these companies in Borough Park. They says, no, that's our policy and tough luck. Wow. You don't like it. You don't like it. Then we're taking it back and you'll have to go to a Din Torah if you get your money back. When we install it, after I leave the house, you want to go unscrew it, that's your business. But my job is to take this bookcase, and it's not even a big bookcase, and it's to screw it into the wall, because we cannot be responsible for crazy people who do things, and the bookcase will come collapse upon them, and we're going to be responsible. When we install it, if you paid us to install it, that's part of the deal. I was very impressed. I was very impressed that the people here that actually feel a degree of responsibility. It's not the law. That's their policy in the store, and that's what they do. And they said, there's nothing to talk about. I'm putting it into the wall. You can take it. You want to do it? I'll leave the house. You do whatever you want to do. It's none of my business. So most of the time today, bookcases are, something a little bit big is going to be attached to the wall. It's attached to the wall. Once it's attached to the wall, if the door falls off, like over here, they don't put doors. These bookcases, there are no doors in these bookcases. But let's say there'll be a door on the bottom, and the door would fall off on Shabbos. Before Shabbos, the door is muksa machmas gufay. You're not allowed to touch it. Now in a shul, there's a danger. Someone will trip, will get hurt. So in a shul, you would of course be permitted to pick up the door in the normal way and to put it in a safe place. But in your home, no one's going there. The door falls off a bookcase that is attached to the wall. The door is muksa machmas gufay. It was originally meant to be attached to the wall. It's now detached. It's considered to be fundamentally dysfunctional. And therefore, it's machmas gufo. You may not move it. If there's a danger, he writes it, a danger is called three people. If you are in a room, in a location, where three people share and they walk around, that already is considered to be a danger. If something is just lying around, not in its place, they can trip upon it. But one or two people, where they can assess, it's not so dangerous, we're not gonna trip on it, then it becomes muksa. But let's say the bookcase indeed is not attached to the wall and the door falls off. So it depends. If the bookcase is still functional, of course it is. So there's no door, big deal, there's no door. So the door fell off. I can still use, like I have, I dive in sometimes at the bima. So the bima, the door is on the front, there are two doors, and people don't know, they need a talus, they open up the door. So they open up the door, the whole door comes away with them. The door, the hinges on the door broke, so when they open up the door, boy, they're in for a surprise. The whole door comes right off. Happens all the time. So why you just fix the door already? I don't know. So is that door muksa? No, it's not muksa. Why? Because the bima is movable. The bima can be moved around. And it's functional. The bima is movable, and the bima is functional. The bima is functional. Even though the door, what do I need the door for? It's not, I have no use for the door.
There,
what?
It's an ornament.
It's an ornament. I don't need the door. The door, so you would think it serves no function. No, it's a regular chiddush. It's a regular chiddush is that even though the door has no function, but it comes from something which does have a function, and it's functional, and it's not attached to the ground. It's okay. You're allowed to move.
If the bima was screwed into the ground, that would change the whole.
If the bima was screwed into the ground and the door fell off, yeah. So over here, the whole halach, exactly.
That's not true. The bima is movable.
What?
The bima is movable.
So what's called movable? Right. Let's say you need many people to make a break. They talk about a break front. A break, one second, a break front. A break front. It's very, very big. You can't really move it. That's, your truth is, it's a good question. Really, he presented that in the beginning of the Sefer somewhere about a break front that's very, very heavy. You really can't move, and you wouldn't move because it's delicate. You have china, you have different things inside, the glass. You wouldn't really move it around. Maybe that really should be considered to be a mechubel karka, even though it's not drilled into the ground. It's just due to its weight, due to its situation,
like
this beam over here. Right. To move this beam, you probably need five people at least to push it around. He doesn't come. I don't think he came to a conclusion. He quotes the Shaila. Basically, when you don't have a conclusion, lechatchila you should be machmir b'diavad. You can be mekel b'shas hatchak in the heavy things, which you need many people to move things like this beam over here. Yeah.
So
I'm gonna answer you next. Yeah, no, no, no. Okay.
So you have so by extension a mezuzah.
Okay. Mezuzah, different halacha. Excellent. He has a footnote asking exactly that question. Okay, I'm going to come down a little bit later on. Okay, let's talk about it right now. A mezuzah that was not hung up before Shabbos is mutter. It's not muksa kihuzeh. Mutter l'chatchila. Anything that is kisvei kodesh, holy scriptures, is fundamentally not muksa, including a mezuzah, for sure mezuzah, that was not hanging on the door before Shabbos.
But tefillin, yes.
Tefillin is more complex. We'll come to that a little bit soon. But a mezuzah is part of the category of kisvei kodesh. Kisvei kodesh, which means svarim, and it means the Sefer Torah, a Navi, the Chumash Megillos. They are not muksa at all. Included in this permission is a mezuzah. You can take the mezuzah, open it up, and you can read it. It says Shema Yisrael Shem Kodesh. You can read it. It is not muksa. And by extension, the case which is meant to house the mezuzah is not muksa. So he asks you over here in the footnote, the first footnote in chapter 8, where he talks about kisvei kodesh, mitzvah objects. He asks, what about if the mezuzah was attached before Shabbos began, or even during the weekday, and now it fell down? So why is the mezuzah different than a door that falls off its hinges, which becomes muksa, since the door is meant to be attached to the karka, and now it's not attached to the karka, so it's viewed to be dysfunctional, completely void of separated from its function, because it's not attached to the ground. So the mezuzah is the same thing. So he concludes, and he cites all the various sources, that doesn't matter. A mezuzah, even when it's attached to the doorpost, is not considered the chubar lakarka. Even though you have to nail it in to be a kosher mezuzah. Because
right.
A mezuzah is a mezuzah. It's a spiritual object. It's not wood. It's not a door. It's not a cabinet. It's a cheftza shel mitzvah. And a cheftza shel mitzvah, which is kisvei kodesh, When it becomes detached, it's not muksa. The principle of it is that it was once attached to the karka and now it's detached, makes it muksa, does not apply to something which is a chefsa shel mitzvah, especially a kisvei kodesh. Now, just as an aside, you're probably a little confused because you probably remember hearing in the back of your mind that Megillas Esther is muksa.
Right.
You probably heard that. So he says very clearly, Megillas Esther is never muksa, except only one time is a muksa, when Purim is chal on Shabbos. But that doesn't happen for us. That only happens in maybe it does happen for us. Does it happen for Purim? Can you dal fall on Shabbos? Because that's impossible. Impossible?
No. Mosai Shabbat.
Okay, so in Eretz Yisrael. So there it's Tesvav, it's Michal Shabbos. So here's the chiddush, where he says, then the halach is, really, me'ikir hadin, you're supposed to lay in the Megillah on Shabbos. Just like we know on Shabbos, we lay in a Shirashirim on Shabbos, we lay in a Rus, we lay in a Koheles, we lay in from the Torah every day, every Shabbos. So why, just because it's Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, when Tesvav is chal on Yerushalayim, in Ir Shemuk of Chayma, Tetezvav, just because it's Shabbos, you don't lay in the Megillah? What's the problem? Everyone will come to Shul on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, and they have an Erev there anyway in Yerushalayim, and if you don't have an Erev, it doesn't make a difference, so you'll have the Megillah in Shul, just like you have the Sefer Torah there in Shul, and you lay in the Megillah! What's the big deal? What's the problem? So Chazal said, we know, we don't want a Megillah, it's different because it's a chiv in every single person. You may not know how to lay in the Megillah. You may go take your Megillah privately, go to a Chacham to ask him to teach you. You may come to carry the Megillah. So Chazal went out of their way, here's the Chiddush, and were oiker the mitzvah of Megillah on Shabbos. Really, you should lay on Shabbos. You have to know the starting point. You should lay on Shabbos. Chazal said, we don't want you to lay on Shabbos. Gezerah, you may come to carry. So they took away from you the mitzvah of Megillah on Shabbos. By them taking away from you the mitzvah of Megillah on Shabbos, it now makes the Megillah muksa. Isn't that amazing, the laws of muksa? But on a regular Shabbos, this Shabbos, Parashat Shemos, is there a mitzvah playing the Megillah?
No.
Did Chazal take anything away from you? Did they deny you the pleasure of laying the Megillah on Shabbos? The Shabbos mitzvah? No, there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. So gesunte, hey, do you have a Megillah, beautiful Megillah Esther in your house? You want to read the Megillah? You want to look at it? You want to show it to your friends? You want to show the Megillah? Go right ahead. Or you want to go say it's muksa machmas chesaron kiss? It costs $2,000. There's no such thing as muksa machmas chesaron kiss when it comes to kisvei kodesh. when it comes to holy scriptures, the Sefer Torah cost, a new Sefer Torah with all the bells and whistles, cost a good $60,000-$70,000. So that's a chasaron kiss, no? It's not a cheap thing. You ever hear of a thing that the Sefer Torah is muksa on Shabbos? It's ridiculous. Of course it's not muksa. Kisvei Kaddish are never muksa on Shabbos. The only time it will be muksa is in one unique situation when really you should be letting the Megillah, and Chazal came along and they took away from you the mitzvah of letting the Megillah by telling you on Tezvav, do not lay. Then it becomes muksa. So for us living in Chutz Liaretz, when we never have Purim on Shabbos, it's not an issue. The Megillah is never muksa on Shabbos. That's what it says over here in this beautiful Sefer of Simchat Purim Kohn.
That's an ancient sefer, so it would not be mukzah.
Kisvei kodesh, it cannot be mukzah. By definition, if it's a kis as kedushas sefer Torah, it can, even if it's not even a sefer, it's a sefer which you can learn from. You can read a pasuk, no matter an ancient manuscript that you found Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay, and it has there an authentic version, maybe even not an authentic version of studying in Tanakh. It's Torah. It's Torah, so if it's Torah, it cannot be muksa no matter what. Okay, yes.
Thank you. If the internal gate door is separated,
the gate door is separated, yes.
And it is not safe and secure and dangerous.
Okay.
What you should do?
You're allowed, assuming that there is an Eruv, that there is an Eruv.
No, there is no Eruv.
There is no Eruv, so then what you should do, l'chatchila, is if you can quickly find a non-Jew to move it for you.
Amira is not important.
No, Amir Yakum is mutter in the case of Sakana. 100%. If you have a gate door in the street, you have a gate around your house, and the gate door falls down, and it's lying in the street, and there is no Eruv, so you should call a non-Jew immediately to move the gate.
Not by phone.
You should find one. If you cannot find a non-Jew, then what you should do is move the gate yourself in an unusual way, provided that it's a kalachayad. Provided that it's a real sakana. If it's not a real sakana, that's a hard question to ask. What is called a sakana? What is not called a sakana? That's a very tough question to ask. But if you feel in your heart that this is a real sakana,
why we are not lighting the Hanukkah candle this day outside? Because it's dangerous.
What's dangerous? That's a totally different topic. We cannot go there now. Your question was a gate that falls down on Shabbos, not only Chanukah candles. The gate that falls down in the street on Shabbos, you should call in. If there's an Eruv, even though it's Muksa, it's 100% Muksa. If it's a Sakana, you're allowed the Chatil to pick it up with your two hands in a normal way and put it in a safe place. That's what we learned yesterday. The laws of Muksa are suspended. The Mokum Shiyesh Sakana.
At night he can't do by himself. There is nobody to come to help him.
There's no one to come help him, therefore.
At night? Yeah.
So, but if there is an Eruv, I told you, do it yourself. If there is no Eruv, if you can quickly.
What is the Eruv in the city or in the house?
In the city, in the place where you're carrying the door. If the door falls in the street.
It's in Rashid HaYachid Shelo, in the.
If it's in a Rashus HaYachid, then you can pick it up yourself, and there's no question of carrying.
Yeah,
if there's no question of carrying on Shabbos, you're allowed L'chatchila to pick up the door.
No,
to fix it, it's forbidden. It's a Melocha D'Oraisa. To take a door that is detached and to put it back in its hinges is a Melocha D'Oraisa of Binyan. Schil Shabbos, Schiv Karas. The door falls off its hinges. What?
Put it on the side. A door falls
off on Shabbos, and to take the door and put
sleep.
The door
you
back on.
Okay to put the door like this and go to sleep?
Okay, let's go further. Okay, so these are the doors. Okay, next Shiloh. Force it, yeah.
You do it like this? Don't know? You're going from the roof?
What falls down the sidewalk?
A tree limb.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to move on Shabbos into the gutter? It's on the sidewalk. It
all depends. Sometimes it's so massive. You won't even have the strength to pick it up, right? A lot of times you don't even realize how heavy these things are. Don't try. You'll put yourself in sakana by trying to move it. Now let's say it's very very small, and you realize I can do it. I can maneuver it. I can do it. If it's so obvious to people who are walking in the streets that it's there, it's not your problem to take it away immediately. If a branch falls down, it's completely blocking the sidewalk, right? And you're right, it's a sakana. You're right. It happens. Ma'aseh in the whole yom. No. It depends on the king. If there's no eruv, kicking it aside, you may be maver dalet amos berushos sarabim. It's muksa. Definitely is muksa. That's right. So muksa shayl is not really an issue because of sakana. So you're allowed to pick. You're allowed to have to kick. You can pick it up. L'chatchil, you can pick it up. But there's another. The real question is, if there is no eruv. Are you allowed to move something in the Rishus Sarabim more than Dalet Amos? If you use the Eruv, so then that's not an issue. Then you are allowed, if you really view it to be a Sakana, you can pick it up with your bare, you don't need to kick it. You can pick it up with your bare hands. Anything that is Mishum Sakana, you do not need to be metaltal begufoy or minatzad. You can be metaltal in the most comfortable way with your bare hands. On the other hand, you have to realize when branches fall down in the streets on the sidewalk, this ma'aseh b'chol yom, it's not necessarily a sakana. If it's very obvious that there's something there, there's an impediment there right in front of you, it's an emergency that you have to move it before Shabbos is over. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't necessarily think so. So until Shabbos is over for another 6 hours, whoever will walk on the street will walk around it.
They'll do it themselves.
Is every time a branch falls on the street emergency that you have to do right away because it's sakana? If it's very obvious that it fell down, a natural accident, where it's so obvious you're walking in the street, you have to take into consideration people that are walking like zombies with a smartphone, I'm going to walk right into it? Are you mechuyev to take that into consideration? I don't think so. If you're telling me the answer is yes, that's the law, that's what people could then yeah. So then you should move it, get a guy, or if not, kila achar, yeah, you should do it begufay. The best way to be metaltal muksa is with your body, begufay, kicking it or shoving it with your body. The second best way is what's called min hatzad. You hold in your hand something that's not muksa, and you use what's not muksa to push aside something which is muksa. That is not as good as moving muksa with your body, your elbow, your leg, any part of your body, that's considered to be 100% shaloi kederach. So let's go to another concept. Very common shayla. Faucet handle comes off. Okay, turning the faucet, and guess what I got in my hands now? The handle of the faucet falls off. Is it muksa? Absolutely. Why is it muksa? Because the faucet is mechubal karaka. When the faucet is normally used, is it attached to the sink? Certainly. Certainly. So now when it comes off, it's something which has been detached from, something that's attached to the ground. So once you put it down, it becomes muksa machmas gufoy. You're not allowed to move, not even l'tzarech gufoy oil l'tzarech mekoymai.
How about two possibilities? The water's running, the water's not running. The water's running, you cause damage.
So you want to take the muksa in order to put it back on, to close it.
To close it because...
So you're using the metaltel muksa in order to save yourself damage. Hefsid meruba.
Why can't you move it back to the faucet?
That's boina. That resembles boina. Putting the faucet back on, even though you may not necessarily screw it back in place, it resembles a malacha deraisa. You're already getting involved in boina binyan. Anytime you take something that's detached from the ground and you attach it to the ground, even if you don't do a full attachment, but it's meant to be attached to the ground, that already is step one in the melacha d'oraisa of boina. So you're not allowed to take it.
Sure,
what?
It's a makabit patish because it lets you close. Makabit patish is
a chelik of binyan. So you're saying a shayla, what happens if the faucet comes off and the water is still on and you need to take the faucet to put it on the sink in order to close it? It doesn't work. Your hands don't work. You can't get the faucet off with your bare hands. The only way you can get the faucet off is to take this faucet, put it on the sink in order...
Shut it out.
That would be ideal. That would be the ideal thing to do. That way you're not being metaltal muksa. You're right. You're not being that. So what's the alternative? To let the water run the whole Shabbos and your water bill will be $100? Is that called the Hefsid Merubah? Maybe. And let's say the house will, certainly if the house is going to flood and you're going to have major damage and sakonis, it'll be a mold, which is sakonis and fascist, certainly then in those type of situations, if you can't get a guy to do it for you, then you probably, what they would tell you to do is to try to do it kala'achar yad. If you have a situation where you feel there's a real sakana for your health, for your life, for your house, property, so you do it. But do it in a way that is unusual. You would never consider doing this in a normal way. That's only in extreme circumstances. If the water's running, and all right, so the water will run for a couple of hours. So it's like I filled up two bathtubs. It's not the end of the world. My water bill will be $10, $20, whatever it will be more than it normally would be. It's not the end of the world. So if you it's an expression of Zahiris and Shabbos worth it to you, $20. Would you pay $20 to be Mahader in Shabbos? Some people would say yes, some people would say no. I don't know what to tell you. It's a problem. You got it, it's a problem. Door handle is the same exact thing. If the door handle falls off, you got a problem. The door handle falls off, you're not allowed to touch the door handle is Mukhubu Lakarko, you're not allowed to put it back on, you're allowed to touch it, finished. What about the light switch? Okay, the plate on the light switch. All of a sudden, just falls right down onto the floor. Before Shabbos, on Shabbos, the plate on the light switch falls on the ground. Usser, it's muksa machmas atzmai because it was meant to be attached to the ground. On the other hand, those people who have in their house covers for Shabbos, they have over here. I see. On Shabbos, they install special covers, magnetic or snap-ons. That's not muksa. That is not muksa. You're even allowed to put it on Shabbos itself.
That's shmira for Shabbos.
A shmira. You're even allowed to put it on Shabbos itself. A light switch cover is considered klif shemalachta leheter because its purpose is to serve the person. Hear alumnus? It's serving you. It's serving me that I should not forget. I should not forget that today is Shabbos and it's not mechubal lekarka because you don't snap. When you snap it on, that's not called mechubal lekarka. Mechubal lekarka means it's permanently attached. You need special tools to remove it. You'll argue hinges should be the same. They're not necessarily, depending on the different types of hinges you put it in. We're not so generous when it comes to hinges. What?
A blech.
A blech? What about a blech?
So you put it like a switch. You protect the fire from...
So if you want, is a blech muksa? Is a blech muksa? I don't think it's muksa. Blech is not muksa. I think you're allowed, a blech, you're allowed to put on Shabbos also itself. Yeah, I don't believe a blech is muksa. That we have to come to. I think he has it later on over here. I didn't get that far. So what? You have food. There's no issue in heating something up on Shabbos. You can even heat up food. If you have food that's frozen and will not have any liquid when that's already cooked, there's no prohibition of heating something, reheating something on Shabbos, provided that you're not cooking it and you're not doing it derech bishul. So certainly a blech, it's a piece of metal, it gets hot. I may be mistaken, but I don't think putting a blech on the fire is forbidden on Shabbos.
Isn't there a difference between food and heating up?
It's not becoming red hot. Saying it's ash. You're making it to a pacham ash. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Okay, so we have to wait. Let's wait for that. We'll definitely come to that. The kitchen items. He has a whole section on kitchen items. Maybe I can find it right now quickly. Blech. Kitchen utensils. Index maybe. Index. B. Blech. Page 126. 126. 126. I don't see the... Here we go. Blech is considered kli shebalach de leheter because it is primarily used for permitted functions. This is not Hilcha Shabbos Sefer. So he's not telling you if you're allowed to put it on Shabbos. He's just telling you if it's muksa or not muksa. He says that it's definitely not muksa.
You can touch, but you don't know if
you
can move it.
You can move it. Move it. Muksa is only about moving. Yeah. Touching, you always can touch.
Fire, but can you move it on the fire?
Oh, so that, see, this is not a Hilcha Shabbos Sefer. This is a Hilcha Muksa Sefer. So he doesn't discuss at all here if you're allowed to put the blech on the fire. I believe you are. From what I remember, you are. But but if the blech already is on the fire, for sure you can take it off, it seems. I don't know, maybe...
Yeah, because you could spill liquid on it.
What?
Let's say from our accident, you spill liquid.
Yeah.
Fat on it. So you don't want to leave it all Shabbos there. You can take it off.
Take it off. Okay. I let's leave that for another time. Next shayla, we're in a few more minutes of the shayla. Now this is very interesting shayla, very interesting thing. Over here, we've seen Rav Moshe, it's very, very big chiddush. Window shades. Okay, we have window shades here? Yeah, there they are, window shades. So let's say one of these window shades falls off on Shabbos. Let's say one of these things comes right off onto the floor before Shabbos, on Shabbos. Are you allowed to, and let's say there's no danger. Let's say they already finished davening, no one's really hanging around here. You just want to pick it off the floor and put it on the table. Are you allowed this exact window shade? L'chaira, this is usur. It's usur because this window shade to reattach looks like it's from the category where not so easy. Not they're professionally, they're installed. These are higher end. These are high-end window shades which you need a little bit more skill in attaching, and they look like they're pretty much permanently attached. If remember the olden days, they used to have these window shades, they still have, where they have these brackets, these thick brackets. And you open up the bracket, right? Open up the bracket and slides in, slides out. Rav Moshe holds, that's not called mechubal lekarka. A bracket where it's very easy to take the window shade and put it in and pull it out, and it doesn't require any skill, doesn't require any tools. Open and close, and you stick it in, stick it out. That is not called mechubal lekarka, and therefore, if it falls down on Shabbos, it's not muksa. It's not muksa. Only time something is muksa is only when something was meant to be mechubar lekarka. A window shade that slides in and easily in and out in the bracket is not mechubar lekarka. The mail, it's not muksa, but if it is attached with screws or something like that, then it does be mechubar lekarka, it becomes muksa, and you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. Yeah.
So on Shabbos, can you pull shade?
Of course. Of course. That's a given. That is a given. We're talking about where it falls out. Well, the entire shade now comes
out of its bracket
and onto the floor, or onto a table, and I want to move it from here to there, I want to move it around. I'm not putting it back. Even putting it back. Rav Moshe says you can put it back. Rav Moshe says it falls out of the brackets, you can put it back inside. But if it's the type of window shade where you need screws, or it's more complex, I don't know what it means, more complex, yeah, every situation is different, it becomes muksa. Rav Moshe is dating himself by saying this. He's dating himself back to the 80s, the 70s. Okay, so today things have changed a little bit.
You told me about the Megillah. If someone bar kore Megillah and he wants to review,
yes,
and get
mutter.
Preparation on Shabbat,
mutter.
He can do?
Yes, yes, yes. Only time he cannot do it is if he's living in Yerushalayim and it's Tesvav.
If he's Yerushalayim, what he should do?
Then on Shabbos, if it's Shabbos, it's Purim which falls out on Shabbos,
yeah.
Then you're not allowed to read the Megillah. You're not allowed to touch the Megillah. It's Muksa. We discussed this before.
Make you say the other people. If nobody, there is Bar Korea.
Okay, we discussed before. Okay, let's go further. A bookshelf. One of these bookshelfs. Is it Muksa? Well, if it's long.
Grilled, yes.
I want to take the bookshelf. I want to rearrange the books. And I want to move around the bookshelves. Is the book? No, definitely not. Why? As long as it's not attached. As long as it's not attached to the permanently attached. You can take it out without any screws or anything. You have these pegs. It's permitted. Some of them are more complex. Those.
Is it attached?
No, these are not attached. I don't believe they're attached. Very unlikely. The bookcase, but not the shelf. The shelf is not attached. The shelf is not attached. Sometimes you have the shelves which are attached, which I don't know, they're all different types of bookcases.
Window shelves also is attached, drilled.
What?
Window shelves also drilled in there.
The window shades, if it falls, it depends, we just said. If it depends, if it falls out.
You said this, but it is drilled.
I don't understand.
Attached to the wall.
But the window shade itself is not attached. If it's a window shade which can be easily removed, it's just like a bookshelf. A bookshelf.
How about this one?
So these are permanently attached, I think.
Yeah, attached.
And therefore, if they were to fall off on Shabbos, you would not be allowed to move it. A briefcase. Is a briefcase, empty briefcase, of course, is mutter. But let's say the briefcase has inside it items of muksa, then the briefcase becomes a busis. And you're not allowed to move it for nothing. No matter, you cannot move it. If the briefcase has dvarim hamutanim, dvarim horas, things that are mutans. Also, we go bus what's more choshev. This goes back to learn the buses. If it's more choshev, the item that's in the briefcase, it's more choshev, is muksa, you cannot move the briefcase. If the item that's inside the bookcase is more choshev to you, is something that's not muksa, you can move the briefcase after someone, a non-Jew, took the muksa out of the briefcase. Okay, a cigarette, a box of cigarettes, lying on your table on Shabbos, what status does it have? So this is interesting. He writes here that it's called a kli shemalachta li'issa. It's a utensil. He doesn't talk about that. But he says that it's a kli. But now, wait a minute. So what would a kli shemalachta li'issa be? It's used for davera. It's a kli. Also, the cigarette is a utensil, and it's a utensil that's used for prohibited activity on Shabbos. You're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos. That's pashut. So it's a kli shemalach v'liyisr. Now that's a very nice leniency, because it's a kli shemalach v'liyisr. You're allowed to move it letzarach gufoy or letzarach mekaymoy. If it's in my way, I have a pack of cigarettes on the dining room table, and I want to eat here. So it's a kli shemalach v'liyisr, a collection of kelim shemalach v'liyisr, and a kli shemalach v'liyisr is mutl letzarach mekaymoy. Not so fast. If you remember when we learned this sugi before, there are two types of kelim shemalach v'liyisr. There's a kli shemalach v'liyisr category 1 and a kli shemalach v'liyisr category number 2. What's the difference? A hammer is called the kli shemalach v'liyisr category number 1 because I primarily use it for prohibited activity of banging nails into the wall, but occasionally I use a hammer for permitted activities like breaking nuts or doing other things in the home which are not melachas deraisa. But then we discuss the case of a candle. A candle is also, according to many, a kli, shemalach v'liyisr, but it's category number 2, because you only use a candle for one thing only, and that is for illumination. You've never seen a person using a candle to crack open nuts. You've never seen someone using candles, our example, long candles, Hanukkah candles, as chopsticks to eat sushi. You've never seen people using candles as a pointer. I want to keep the place in the sitter, so I'm going to use a candle to serve as a pointer. You've never seen this. Hammer, 90% of the time you do banging nails. Sometimes you use it to crack open nuts. But a candle? You never use anything other than its intended purpose, which is forbidden on Shabbos. So we had a dilemma, a discussion. A kli, shemalach v'liyisr, normally is mutter l'tzarech gufay or l'tzarech mekayman. But that's category number 1. A kli shemalach v'liyisr, category number 2, there's a debate in the Paiskin if you are allowed to move it, let's say, gufay or mekaymai. L'chatchila, you should not. B'diavad, if you have no choice, then you're allowed to move it in the normal way. A cigarette or a cigar has the status of a kli shemalach v'liyisr, category number 2. Therefore, if the box of cigarettes are on your dining room table, l'chadchila, you should not move it altogether. You have no choice. If you're really, really hard-pressed, there's nowhere else to eat but, and if you want to move it, you can, if you really need to, with your elbow, right? Your elbow. Let's say they're very delicate. You know, these are, I got this cigar from the President of the United States, or Rush Limbaugh gave me, and if I go and I kick it with my elbow and it falls on the floor, I just caused myself a hefse meruba of $1,000. So I don't want to move it with my elbow or with a stick. I want to pick it up very delicately, and put it down where it belongs in a very delicate manner. So are you allowed to do that? Well, it's a kli, shemalach v'liyisr, category number 2, l'chatchila, no, because it's number 2, but b'diavad, if you really feel the need to do so, you are permitted to pick it up in the normal way and to put it down in a safe location.
But if the person is addicted to a smoke and he's sitting on the table, the cigarette is very, very desired to make it and to use it. It's dangerous. Is it making me? He has tava, he has desire to.
I don't understand what you're saying.
When the cigarette is on the table,
yes,
and he's still suffering, he wants to make it to smoke anytime.
Psychological pain,
yeah,
by seeing.
Yeah, psychological.
So cover it. Take the challah cover it. Cover it.
I don't know what is.
You're allowed to cover muksa.
Under the table.
You're allowed to cover muksa. Okay, an ashtray. What would you say? Ashtray is on your dining room table.
What?
An ashtray. Ashtray. They still make those things? They still make those things, right? Ashtray. It's on the dining room table. Shabbos. I want to move it. Glass. It's expensive glass. My in kindergarten, the children they made for the grandparents beautiful designer ashtrays. A kindergarten activity to make sure for the Zeta. A glass ashtray. Are you allowed to? I can't use my elbow. I have to pick it up delicately and move it to the side. Are you allowed to? So what would you say? So he says over here, it depends. Everything always depends. Is there ash in the ashtray? Is there ash? If there is ash in the ashtray, well, let's now have a second child. What is the status of ash? Okay, what is ash? Ash is muksa machmas gufay. Has no function, ash. You're not allowed to move ash. You're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. That would make the ashtray a bosses. All you'll sell, tell me about the ash, is worthless. It's not. It's true, it's worthless, but that's what an ashtray does. An ashtray supports ash. If you have a piece of, that's what it does. And the melo, no matter whether you like it or not, the ashtray becomes the bosses to the ash. So then you're not allowed to move the ash. You're not allowed to move the ashtray for nothing to talk about because of the ash. It's the bosses. The whole thing becomes the bosses. But if there's nothing, there is no ash in the ashtray, so then the halacha is an ashtray becomes a kli shemelach doy le'isser. It's used for activity that is prohibited on Shabbos. What do you do with the ashtray? You smoke. And when you smoke, you put the ash. So now, next question. Is it category one or category two? Is it exclusively used only for smoking? Or do people occasionally put tzedakah money in there, pennies in there, they put paper clips, keys, they use for other functions? They do. So therefore, it's definitely not category number two, it's category number one. Therefore, category number one, what is the law? Kli shemlach le'is, category number one, it's mutter, litzorech gufoy oy litzorech mekama. You do not need to use your elbow, you can move it around normally. A magnet is mutter l'chatchil, you have a magnet refrigerator. You can do whatever you want. You want to hang a picture on your refrigerator, that's not called mechubel karka. You're allowed to take a magnet, and attach to your refrigerator to hold the pictures. A magnet is not, it's a clear shemach leheter, it's mutter, yeah.
I just had a whole big issue about that, I work with blind people, it's a whole story. So to put letters on a magnet, say like on the refrigerator, if you put
spelling word.
Let me start again. Blind people, they use a magnetic board in order to see what's written. So to do that on Shabbos, I was told it's usur. Because
for a blind person, you have to always define: is it usur min haTorah, min haRabbanan, is it chumrah?
I was told that they cannot use
like Scrabble. It's like Scrabble.
No, well, if it's not magnetized, then it's okay.
So why does the magnet make a difference?
Because the magnet makes it kavua, set.
So it's a din of kasiva?
Yeah, right.
Din of kasiva.
Yeah.
Writing.
Right. If you just put the letters on a table, that would be okay. Or like a magnet, or like a Scrabble game. Right.
But what about, you get a magnet, you get it in the mail. They send you the zmanim for the whole year, a magnetized card.
Right.
Put on the refrigerator.
It could be that.
It's mutter. That's not a ksiva.
Yeah.
But that's not.
But the C-A-R would be a ksiva.
When you combine it with the fact that it's a magnet. It's okay, I have to understand what that means. Okay, fine. All right, now one more case out of time. One more case. A scale. Do they still make regular scales today? No, sure. Not electric scales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Regular scales. With no electrical devices inside, so what status the scale have? It's a kli shemelach le'iser. You're not allowed to weigh yourself on Shabbos. It's forbidden. Medida on Shabbos is you're only allowed to weigh and measure for dvar mitzvah. For a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to measure. You'll say it's to the Shabbos, right? No, it's not called dvar mitzvah. Okay, it's. If Chazal were alive today, they would say that Shalom is awesome. Mishum sakana. Shmartem oides nafshoy seichem.
In
Olam Hazeh.
Wake up.
A scale is a kli shemelachta li iser. One may not weigh themselves on Shabbos on a scale, and therefore it's a kli. It's mutter litzach gufoy oy mekama. You go into the bathroom and it's in your way. How to get? How did the scale get? Who's someone's trying to remind me of something? Is there a message here, Min Hashamayim? The scale right in front of me that's in my way. I'm in my way. I want to move it out of the way. Yes, you're allowed to pick it up with your bare hands in a normal way. I don't want to kick it. I'll break it. Pick it up. Move it. It's mutter. It's a kli shmachtoi li iser mutter tachum kavat. Tomorrow, Mishnah will continue. I'll take a very short break and have some very interesting things to learn with you after the break.